We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome in to another edition of the PHNX Feedback Podcast, right here on PHNX. My name is Derek Montilla. Of course, I'm your mayor of PHNX. This is my vice mayor, your thunderstick, the one and only Jesse Friedman. And boy, did we have a scare out at Salt River Fields today. Spring training games are supposed to be fun, Jesse. Christian Walker getting hit in the hand, not so fun. I don't like that. It's not fun at all. It caused us to go into a whole spiral of what would we do next? What happens next? And things didn't look great when we went into the clubhouse to talk to Christian Walker about it, at least in the moment, just because they declined comment. And, you know, we didn't really hear anything prior to the end of the game about, you know, his status or how the imaging came back in regards to his hand.
Yeah, so I guess we should say on the front end, not bury the lead here. Christian Walker, it appears, is fine. He has a right hand contusion. That's what the Diamondbacks are calling it. X-rays were negative. Seems like they dodged a bullet here. Everything is okay. But yes, when we were at Chase Field, there were many reasons to believe that this was not trending in a positive direction for the Diamondbacks. After the game, you know, usually Torrey Lovello comes up to the podium and speaks within about, I don't know, maybe 5-10 minutes after these spring training games end. You guys just kind of want to get out of there. He did not come within 5 or 10 minutes today. He did not come within 15 or 20 minutes today. We were all just waiting at the podium, and eventually the Diamondbacks told us that Torrey would not be made available after the game, and Jeff Banister came out and spoke instead, and he said that he did not have an update on Christian Walker. And you know, I would never want to read too much into a situation like that. It's not like those things don't happen from time to time and mean nothing, but you can kind of put two and two together. Like, Christian Walker is a really important player for the Diamondbacks. You know, if God forbid some sort of significant injury had popped up, that would feel like the kind of thing that could cause Torrey Lovello to, you know, need to have some meetings or whatnot after the game and kind of be figuring things out.
Right.
But yes, fortunately for the Diamondbacks, it looks like everything is going to be okay here.
Well, and chances are that imaging and such was going on during that time period, like you said, that we were discussing or that we were waiting. And then Banister came out. There was no updates from Banny at all on Christian Walker. But we are hearing now that the X-rays were negative. It is a contusion, and that is all very, very good for the Arizona Diamondbacks, because Christian Walker, as you know, is such a huge part of this team, and the Diamondbacks have depth, you know, around the infield, but, I mean, there isn't really someone that can step into the role and play first base nearly as well as the Diamondbacks' gold glove first baseman in Walker.
Yeah, we were all asking in the press box, like, can Jock Peterson play first base? He played like a few innings there last year.
Probably Pavin, right?
Yeah, I think Pavin Smith would be the kind of by the book answer for sure.
Yeah, I don't think Tristan English is really, I don't think they'd be ready for.
Yeah, probably not Tristan English. Not, I don't think Ivan Melendez either. It most likely would have been Pavin Smith coming in and getting a decent chunk of playing time alongside maybe Emmanuel Rivera. kind of splitting time at third base and first base. That would that would sort of open the door for him to to make the team, maybe make that a little bit more likely than it was before. But yeah, it doesn't seem like we really have to have this conversation. Christian Walker, who is an enormous part of this Diamondbacks team, is it looks like going to be okay. And I remember this last year too. This is a spring training thing. Remember last year, Gabby Moreno got hit by a pitch. I think there were maybe multiple occasions of that.
Carson Kelly.
Carson Kelly, of course, that one did not end quite as well.
That's not what I want to talk about.
Yeah, that wound up being a forearm fracture. Yeah. That was a bigger deal. But yeah, there was a similar instance with Gabby Moreno last year where he took 95 or something in on the hands. And you just, you never want to see that, especially in these games that don't matter. And, you know, guys are only playing like every other day and for a few innings. So you feel like you should be able to avoid these kind of things, but they just seem to always pop up this time of year.
It's the reason why, like, obviously, just like the pitchers, players, position players, they have to ramp up, right? They have to go from, you know, again, that's why we were talking about them doing the most basic fundamental drills in camp to the point of them playing in these games, even though they're not playing for very long in most scenarios, right? And the reason why is, like Torrey said, he doesn't really need to see these guys, and they don't really need a lot of playing time as far as, you know, securing their position or anything like that. He wants to see the younger guys. He wants to see the guys battling for the position. You know, we had Brian Nelson starting today, who absolutely shoved until any time Jung-Hoo Lee was at the plate. But that's a whole other thing we'll get into here shortly. I think, though, that when it really comes down to it, the Diamondbacks do have, you know, like there's some instances where, like, they have some weaknesses, and it can be exposed really quickly when it comes to, you know, an injury occurring like this to one of the guys where they don't have a lot of depth at that position.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I think that's one of the things we've applauded about this Diamondbacks team is that they do have depth. I think in a lot of different places, they are in better position to withstand injuries than they've been in a very long time. But there are still certain guys that you just cannot replace. Right. And Christian Walker is certainly one of them. They don't have anyone who plays first base, you know, defensively or offensively, who can bring what Christian Walker does. And, you know, there are certainly other guys on that list as well, right? When Gabby Moreno went down with injury last year, he's another guy who's really, really hard for this team to replace. And, you know, no matter how good your depth is, I don't think any major league team is built to withstand the full gamut of, like, you know, any single player that goes down with injury. We've got it. We've got someone ready to step up who's almost as valuable. That's just not realistic. And, you know, the D-backs do have their areas where they're a little more vulnerable, and first base is certainly one of them.
Well, and my point I was getting around to there, especially during spring training, is it does feel when an injury like this happens, like, why is Christian Walker out there? Why are these guys?
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And we
just start
about
the regular season already. Yeah, this is dumb.
Let's get on to it. This is ridiculous. But Major League Baseball requires that the Diamondbacks have a certain number of representatives start each spring training game, right? So it's not even like it's an option for Torrey Lovullo. Not to say he would even do that, but it's not even an option. Major League Baseball requires you to put those guys out there during spring. So, you know, it's just like anything. Like, you could get injured not even playing the sport. You could get injured at home in some way. It does make spring training games feel a little unnecessary, especially when they're, you know, the Christian Walker isn't playing for anything other than just trying to get himself ready for the regular season, right? Meanwhile, Ryan Nelson, like I said earlier, is absolutely playing for something, and he continues to make the front office's decision very difficult, Torrey Lovullo's decision very difficult when it comes to that fifth spot in the starting rotation, because he has been very, very good, and he continued to be very, very good today against the Giants.
He really did. Yeah, Ryan Nelson, man, just pitching the heck out of, throwing the crud out of the baseball, as Torrey Lovullo said about Corbin Martin the other day. I mean, he got 10 whiffs in this game, 9 of those on a four-seam fastball that was especially electric in this game. That's kind of always been Ryan Nelson's best pitch, but it was really, really good today. 10 whiffs total in this game, as I said, 5 strikeouts, getting a lot of swing and miss, continuing to show that he's a different, he at least looks like a different pitcher so far in spring training, a guy who's more capable of getting swing and miss than he has been in the past. And that's a really, really big thing for him. Like, that's more than anything else what Ryan Nelson needs to do. Also thought it was interesting, he threw only a handful of changeups and curveballs today, but both of those pitches appear to be significantly higher from a velo standpoint than they were last year. His curveball today averaged around 80 miles an hour. Last year was in the mid 70s. His changeup also up a couple of ticks velocity wise. And that kind of seems to be a trend. It seems like just about every Diamondbacks pitcher is trying to make their out pitches look more like their fastballs. And a lot of times doing that is to actually add velo to those secondary pitches. We're also seeing that with Slade Ciccone and him trying to add some velo to his slider. I guess we'll see him tomorrow in Goodyear. But yeah, another really good outing for Ryan Nelson.
The grandson of the wind, a.k.a. Younghoo Lee, is going to be a problem in the NL West, Jesse, because I was talking to some of the Giants reporters, and they say they already feel like what they're seeing out of this guy is the real deal. What we saw out of him today very much appeared to be the real deal. And if things don't change, he is going to be on the Giants for a long time to come. He's just going to be one of those guys. So it's like the Dodgers, you know, for years to come. We're just going to have to come to hate some of these very excellent baseball players that play for our rivals in the NL West.
Yeah, I mean, he signed a 6-year contract. Yeah, so he's gonna be with the Giants for a while for sure. And that was not necessarily a very popular move. I mean, a lot of people looked at that dollar figure and were like, you gave him twice as much as like the industry experts were expecting. Interesting. But yeah, I mean, it's still spring training. We'll have to see it in the regular season, but he certainly looked the part today. A couple of really, really hard hit balls against Ryan Nelson. One of them went over the fence. And Ryan Nelson didn't, I mean, you don't really go into spring training with like scouting reports on guys. You're not really trying to like pitch to their weaknesses and whatnot as much as you would in the regular season.
Screw your scouting reports, we go on feel in spring training.
But Ryan Nelson had loads of success against everyone in the Giants lineup except for John
literally
Lee.
Literally,
yeah, like both hits and the run, I mean, were because of
one run, two hits, and they were both because of Lee. Here's what Ryan Nelson had to say about facing him.
I didn't have a scouting report.
What did you know about him?
Nothing. I know now he's a pretty good hitter.
Yeah. Were you able to make any other takeaways from two matchups against him?
Yeah, I think I'll definitely try not to throw him a 2-1 fastball down the middle. but yeah, I mean, stuff like that. He's like good hitter against a pretty lazy fastball. It's probably going to happen. So.
I mean, what he said there is not.
I love that.
Untrue.
I love that answer.
Like, it's not, right? But producer here, Faj, tonight, we got Faj on the ones and twos. I don't like his verbiage either. We agree on this.
You don't like Ryan Nelson saying that?
I don't like him saying that. And I mean, maybe it's honesty, right? Maybe this is the problem, like with Anthony Rendon and his comments. Maybe we just can't accept honesty sometimes. But it very much feels like a guy who's in competition shouldn't openly be admitting that he threw a lazy fastball. But I mean, when he's so good the rest of the day, I guess it doesn't really matter. And you are saying like, that's the reason why, you know, like,
I mean, when he says lazy fastball, though, he's not saying he didn't try hard when he threw it.
Right,
yeah, it's
not
like he grooved one at like 82 down the middle.
It was a 2-1 count and he threw a fastball.
Bad pitch. Yeah. He's saying that it was
a bad pitch. Talk me off the ledge, Jesse Friedman.
I don't think this is complicated. He's saying, I mean, he was asked, what are your takeaways from facing Junghoo Lee? And his takeaway was like, yeah, if I throw him a fastball right down the middle, he's probably going to do something with it. And, you know, these Giants reporters are in there, you know, just trying to get any like little Junghoo Lee nugget that they could possibly get. And Ryan Nelson was like, no, I'm not going to give you that. I'm going to tell you that I threw the worst pitch of my life and Junghoo Lee simply took advantage of it. Before that, he did say that Junghoo Lee's a good hitter. He still gave him his props. But yeah, I agree with Ryan Nelson. It was a pretty terrible pitch, and it is a pitch that he probably wouldn't want to throw to anyone.
Groundhog Mama agrees with Derek and I.
Yeah, lazy fastball is not a good visual.
Maybe a poor choice of words, but I think we all understand what he means by
it's
that.
It's fine. Keep capping for him, Jesse. It's all right. No, I mean, it's just, it's because obviously it feels, and this was the point we were kind of getting to earlier, it feels like Ryan Nelson and Tommy Henry are so close right now. And obviously Tommy Henry, based on the results, has a little bit of an edge, but not much. You know, it doesn't feel like enough. It's not like Ryan Nelson has been bad enough to say like Tommy Henry has some sort of big advantage here. You know, again, these guys are making it difficult on the front office because they both have been very, very good for this team this spring so far.
Yeah, I mean, I continue what I said yesterday, and then I think Tommy Henry's going to kind of have to And like if he continues to he continues to pitch well, I think the spot is probably his. Yeah. The spot is his to lose is kind of the way that I'm viewing it. You know, if we look at their stats so far through two spring training outings, do we have that, Jacob? They're, I mean, both have been absolutely phenomenal, right? I mean, Ryan Nelson, 5 innings, 1 hit, 4 combined hits and walks, 10 strikeouts versus Tommy Henry, 5 innings, no runs, 2 combined hits and walks with 4 strikeouts. You know, there's more swing and miss with Ryan Nelson. He's allowed one more run. But yeah, I mean, the point is Tommy Henry's been really good. And as long as Tommy Henry is really good, I think the spot is probably his.
Seth Harper in the chat says Nelson has a scouting report on Lee now. Yes, he does.
Yes. And he has learned not to throw fastballs right down the middle. That's what he's learned so far.
That's the main takeaway that he took away from that experience. Christian Walker, not the only Diamondback player that is injured currently. Eugenio Suarez was scratched from today's lineup. Torey Lovullo said he had left side tightness in his day-to-day. No imaging was required or anything like that. Just kind of some body soreness, it sounds like.
Yeah, weren't you saying you had some left side tightness the other day, yeah, too? Yeah.
That's what happens, man. Let me tell you. One day you wake up and there's that left side tightness, and sometimes it just doesn't ever go away.
Yeah, this is interesting. I mean, Torey said that they hadn't done any imaging, at least not as of his pregame interview, and it didn't really sound like they were planning to do imaging. He's just day to day at this point. So yeah, we'll continue to monitor the situation. Certainly his health is important for this team.
Yes.
But it doesn't sound like anything big right now.
All of this just reminds me of how, for any team, and this isn't something specific to the Diamondbacks. I mean, maybe the Dodgers are just deep enough they don't have to worry about this shit. But like, it does feel like any team is just a few injuries away from it completely changing their dynamic. It depends on who those injuries are to and how major of a piece they are for the team. But, you know, in just having these two guys, the corners of the infield, you know, potentially missing some time or just thinking about them missing some time during the regular season really leaves you in a position wondering, Where does Torey Lovullo turn to fill in those gaps, fill in those holes? Like you said, that's where guys, some of that depth that might even become minor league depth will be critical for this team, because they need some of those guys that helped them last year during the regular season, like Emmanuel Rivera. They'll need them. They'll need them at some point. It's inevitable because, you know, it's hard to keep a team healthy throughout the entire season. Jock Peterson missed some time because him and his wife had a child. Congratulations to our boy Jock. Welcome the newest member of the Arizona Diamondbacks family.
There you go.
And him and Gabby can bond over being new dads. I saw him commenting on Gabby. Gabby had liked some pictures just looking extra swagalicious on Instagram. And then the first comment right there is Jock just talking about Gabby looking swaggy.
Okay. I pitched this morning.
I don't know
how feasible it is. How do we get Lourdes and Gabby in here to have their own podcast?
Oh, like without us?
In Spanish?
It would be absolutely electric.
Do you think they'd be on board?
Yeah.
And Lourdes, this is for you.
I don't know how we can arrange that. I feel like we would need a facilitator of some kind, right? Can we get Alex in here too?
Yeah, I'm gonna have to start doing Duolingo.
Yeah,
you
one of us.
No. Just those two.
Oh, okay.
I don't want you guys on the show.
No, I know.
No, we're just saying to like facilitate,
that every episode. Happen, there's at least one person.
You're gonna tell me that those two guys are gonna sit in a room and need a facilitator?
No.
Yeah, that's probably fair.
Can we add Corbin to that dynamic though?
Does Corbin speak fluent Spanish?
No, and that's what's hilarious.
And that's what would make it really interesting to watch.
Yeah.
I don't know, chat. Would you watch that show? Like I am all on board.
I am 100% on board with watching a reality show about this Arizona Diamondbacks team in any way, by the way. I don't care if it's in here. I don't care if it's one that follows them around. I need more footage of this team because it feels like there's all sorts of funny and weird thing. Jock Peterson is going to be an absolute delight this year, at least for me. I like just seeing him in his pink hoodie on his hoverboard.
I was like, oh yeah.
I love this guy. I'm all for it. Another show that we could start is Jesse Friedman
Predicting the future?
Predicting the future, soothsayer? I don't know. Because this man over here, he doesn't stop working. And sometimes that involves him going back in time and telling himself something like this. This is a tweet from Jesse from May 25th, 2019. At which he exclaimed, I swear it's going to be 2025 and Pablo Sandoval will still be batting cleanup for the San Francisco Giants. Well, guess what happened today?
I was wrong. I was technically wrong.
Yeah, a year early.
It's only 2024, which still doesn't close the book on this.
Yeah, it
still
really
have to see what happens next year.
Could be back.
But yeah, Pablo Sandoval hit fifth for the Giants today, and did not look. I was not an especially compelling.
He looks great
health wise.
He's lost a ton of weight.
He
looks
visually
fantastic.
Yes. He looks to be in better shape now than he was back in the day. But I think I would take 2012 Pablo Sandoval at the plate over what I saw today.
Seth Harper says need a D-backs hard knocks. He also said I hope Jock had a girl and named her Pearl.
It was a boy. I don't know the name, but it was a boy.
Groundhog Mama says it's his fourth baby. Wow. So yeah, he's got a whole family over there. What a, imagine that. I can't, because I just had one child to watch while I was on the cruise, and that alone was enough for me to have panic attacks at time. I will say, though, that Jesse does know the future, and he refuses to give me the lottery numbers, which that doesn't seem very fair. We thank you guys, of course, for being here in the PHNX Sports YouTube channel. If you have not subscribed to the channel yet, do so now. Sign up for notifications. That way you don't miss whenever our show goes live. Of course, we love when you drop that like. We appreciate that. If you're a listener on the audio podcasting side, we appreciate you being here as well. We love our listeners. Make sure to leave us a review and make sure you're subscribed on your favorite audio podcasting app. Also, big shout out to Somburros, by the way. I don't know if you guys know this, but Somburros has Pollo Fundido, and their Pollo Fundido is amazing. It is just amazing. And for the price that you can get it at Somburros, there's no reason for you to go to one of those expensive restaurants. None at all. You can go to Somburros, you can sit down, have a nice sit-down meal. You can get it to go through their drive-thru. It doesn't matter. You can get wonderful Sonoran-style time-tested recipes from our friends at Somburros. And of course, they can also cater your event. So make sure, no matter where you are in the valley, from here all the way up to Flagstaff, you're never far from their delicious time-tested Sonoran-style recipes, lovingly prepared since 1986. So come check out their newest locations. There's one up by me at I-17 and Jomax. You can also check the one out in Goodyear, where Jesse is spending a lot of time lately.
And two trips to Goodyear in 3 days is too much.
Can we get Jesse on the team bus at least? I feel like that's the only fair. He lives right across the street from Salt River Fields. But of course, let Somburros cater your next meal, big or small. Order online or find one near you by visiting somburros.com. Also, I stopped by Circle K on my way over here. It was a quick, easy fill up on my on a very chaotic, a lot of traffic out there, but I still was able to stop in, get some snacks, fuel up before the show, get some gas in my car so I don't have to stop on the way home. And that's because Circle K's are everywhere in the valley. No matter where you are, there's a Circle K near you. And right now, if you join their Inner Circle program for free by downloading the Circle K app today, you can save 25 cents off per gallon on your first five fill-ups and save 3 cents off per gallon every day after that. And again, it does stack with their other discounts and rewards, like their easy pay option. So make sure, save as much as you can on this gas, because it's expensive out there, folks. Terms and conditions apply at participating locations. Visit CircleK.com for details. Well, Jesse, you know what time it is. It's not Tuesday, but I wasn't here on Tuesday. And usually on Tuesday, we tier rank on Tuesday. It's tier rank. It's tacos.
As in, I think we did tacos that tier on one Tuesday, yeah, like several weeks ago.
But it is Thursday, and that does start with a T. And so that qualifies us to do a little tier ranking today. And we are going to tier rank one of my least favorite things in the whole wide world, which is anything about fantasy baseball.
Why don't you like fantasy baseball?
I do not like fantasy baseball. I have said that on this show multiple times. It's probably not a great thing for a host of a baseball podcast to admit. It is because, Jesse, I have other things in life that I like to do. I have other interests. I have, you know, I like pro wrestling. I like the Phoenix Suns. I like spending time with my daughter. And you know what I don't have time for? Fantasy baseball. Because if I play fantasy baseball, I don't have time for all that other stuff. My entire life becomes all about fantasy baseball. And that is because I am a psychopath when it comes to playing fantasy sports. I won our fantasy football league, and that is because I am relentless when it comes to how you guys have no idea how much I look over the numbers for this show. That pales in comparison to the amount of times I check the free agent waiver wire during the fantasy football season. So to say I obsess would be an understatement, and that's why it lands me into a lot of trouble with my wife. But we did decide that we should at least give you as much information as we could for you, if you enjoy fantasy baseball. I know this one over here likes it very much, on which Diamondbacks players are worth your time on a fantasy baseball team. So yeah, we're going to tier rank them. We got our tier maker here. Jacob's got us all set up. We got all of our Diamondbacks players. Look at those little soldiers all ready to go out there and fight in our little fantasy war. I can't wait for it. But yeah, we have all the Diamondbacks players, at least the guys we know people are going to be interested in fantasy-wise.
Sure.
So we decided that we would take a look at where we think they land on our tier maker scale here, going from S to D. Jesse, we got Zach Gallen up there at the top.
Sure.
Obviously, we're just going to start off with an S tier, right?
You're going S?
Did you hear the questioning in his voice? I cannot wait to hear the words that come out of your mouth,
Derek,
right now.
Derek,
please.
Where did Zach Gallen finish in Cy Young voting?
Please, Jacob, I want to hear what he has to say. Jesse, go ahead. Say the yeah, but that you were about to say.
My first thought was I would put Zach Gallen in the A tier because he is certainly one of the top starting pitchers available. ESPN, I'm looking at their rankings for points leagues. They have Zach Gallen ranked 23rd, and that is a reasonably high ranking. Okay. However, I do think that there are some questions about how Zach Gallen will look coming off of throwing, you know, nearly 250 innings and starting like 40 games between the regular season and the playoffs. I've seen some fantasy baseball discourse already about people maybe staying away, or you know, maybe taking him a little bit lower than maybe they otherwise would have. Mm-hmm. The Diamondbacks do have a clear S tier player on their roster, and that's Corbin Carroll, and we might as well just put him up there right now.
Yeah, I mean, there's you're not going to get a debate out of me on that one either.
I think Corbin Carroll's clearly S. Zach Gallen for me, I would maybe put it A for the reasons I described, but if you want to keep him at S, I won't gripe too much.
That's a hard one for me because I think here what we're talking about, if you're talking about fantasy players, is obviously production. And we know that Zach Gallen was very durable, has been very durable. He's one of those pitchers that you almost, you know at least prior to last year, you always knew what you were going to get out of him. And I don't say like last year was a bad year for Zach Gallen. I just say like from a fantasy perspective, you didn't know at one point if you could count on him or even start him for sure for an away game, right? Like, and that's
fair.
Those splits were enough to keep you to say, maybe I don't want to start Zach Gallen tonight. So maybe Jesse's right. Maybe we bust Zach Gallen down to the A tier to be as realistic as we get. Look, we're not trying to pat him on the back here. We're hurting feelings tonight, and we're trying to get people's fantasy baseball teams to where they need to be.
You know what's even crazier?
What?
That I could almost put Merrill in S tier.
Oh, yeah, like he's right there too.
For
like,
consistency's sake.
Yeah, I mean, Merrill Kelly has been incredibly consistent. At times he was a better pitcher for this team than Zach Gallen even was. I don't want to say he has injury concerns, but the injuries that keep him at times or take him out of games or things that are like, it's weird. It's not like an injury. It's cramping, and he's going to continue most likely to have cramping issues if he's had them already. Right. And like the blood clots thing or something that could come back. And there is some concern there. I feel like in order for it to be an S tier player, it's a superstar that you feel fairly confident is going to be playing every time that their number is called, right? And I mean Corbin Carroll is obviously going to have his off days, but if Corbin Carroll is playing, you're starting him. There's no doubt in my mind.
Yeah. And I mean, I saw a list the other day that Corbin Carroll ranked, I think, is the third best fantasy player in all of baseball. I think it was Ronald Acuna, forgetting the other guy. They might have had Garrett Cole ahead of him or something. But sure. Yeah, like Corbin Carroll's fantasy potential is insane because, I mean, 25 homers, 54 stolen bases last year.
Yeah, that's crazy.
You know, batting average matters in certain leagues if you're doing like a categories kind of a thing. Batting average, you can count on home runs, RBI, certainly runs scored is a big thing for Corbin Carroll. So there's really nothing that that Corbin Carroll can't give you. He is one of the best fantasy players that you could possibly have.
Are you guys categories guys or points guys?
I generally do points, but I will acknowledge that which one you are will definitely have an impact on how you would rank these guys. For sure.
Merrill, though, I think I'm putting him at A.
You're putting him at A? All right. I'm okay with that.
Now, Eduardo, that's the one that I don't know. I mean, we've seen Eduardo already be incredible this spring, and we've also seen him struggle inexplicably. And
yeah, that first Cactus League outing didn't exactly inspire confidence, but it also didn't really matter. So. Right.
But if you are a person that is drafting fantasy guys, where are you taking? What round are you taking Eduardo Rodriguez in? How long are you letting him sit available, and when would you feel is an appropriate time to snatch him up? I feel like that dictates this tier ranking quite a bit.
Yeah, so I'm looking at ESPN's list. They have Eduardo Rodriguez ranked as the 164th best fantasy player, which is not high. There are many Diamondbacks players ahead of Eduardo Rodriguez on this list. I think a lot of it has to do with his underlying stats from last year in Detroit were not particularly strong. Sure. I think there are, as we've discussed, a 3.3 ERA I think is bullish moving forward. And there's also durability concerns there where, you know, he was around 150 innings last year. The year before, I know he stepped away from the team for a while. That was a big factor. He was around 100 innings the year before. I think knowing the innings, you can't necessarily count on too much, and you might be looking at more like a 4 ERA than a low 3 ERA. I think based on this ESPN ranking, like I think C is maybe like where they would probably put him. But I'll let you decide, Derek. If you want to put him in the B category, I won't complain.
I think C is fair because of the unknown factor. We don't know what he is going to be for the Arizona Diamondbacks. I feel like he could be a sneaky acquisition for somebody potentially in a fantasy baseball league, because he probably is going to drop down pretty low. You probably are going to get him in a later round, but he could essentially give you the same value as a guy in the first like five rounds potentially. I mean, I know that's probably bullish to say that, like you would say, but I think that there's the unknown factor of him being on a competitive team that he feels differently about, working with Brent Strom. What we've already seen out of him has been pretty good. So, I mean, I feel like we don't know enough yet that I wouldn't be confident, you know, taking him any higher than like a C ranking.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Brandon Pfaadt, that's another guy that, I mean, we definitely have not seen a big enough sample size out of to feel confident about him being anywhere close to like an A pitcher. I might put Brandon Pfaadt right there at C as well.
Yeah, I think that's probably reasonable. And again, like if we put Eduardo Rodriguez at C, we're not saying Eduardo Rodriguez like a bad player or whatever. Like fantasy baseball generally, I mean, you know, if you have like a 10 team league with a 25 man roster, like you're generally dealing with like the best 250 players or something like that.
Correct.
So you're really looking at kind of the top half of the league here. So just to make that clear, Brandon Pfaadt on ESPN's list is number 300. They have a top 300 list, and Brandon Pfaadt is literally the very last one that that made their list. I think that it's a little bit intriguing, because if you're in a bigger league where you would care to have someone like Brandon Pfaadt, there's certainly some potential there to get a whole lot more than, you know, the draft position that you're taking him at.
Sure.
I think C is reasonable, maybe right there with Eduardo Rodriguez. And you know, it's not going to cost you much to draft him, and you might, you know, if Brandon Pfaadt comes out and has a 3.8 ERA for 180 innings or whatever, then that would be a pretty darn good selection.
Did you put him ahead or behind? Like, do you think he's here?
Behind him. Yeah, I'd put...
Oh, we're like doing order in each.
This is the way ASU's been doing it. I don't mind it because there's some depth to it.
The level of specificity.
I'm putting Erod above Brandon Pfaadt because of the track record. I feel like Erod's proven. Brandon Pfaadt had a really, really incredible 2-3 month run, but I feel like we need to see more out of him before we're declaring him to be a guy that a fantasy baseball player would want to, you know, draft early enough and have on their team. And like Jesse was saying, like, that's why we don't have the entire roster here. We just kind of handpicked the guys we thought would be considered by value by fantasy players.
Yeah,
and we threw them up here. We don't have any bullpen guys really up here except Paul Sewald and Kevin Ginkle. Now, Jesse, where do you rank? How valuable are saves? Because I'm ready to say something crazy. And that is that I feel like there is a chance that Paul Sewald could lead the National League in saves in 2024.
I don't think that's an outrageous. Like I could see a world where that happens. The Diamondbacks are not really the type of team you'd expect to be blowing teams out necessarily.
Correct.
They figure to play a lot of close games. They certainly did down the stretch and in the playoffs. And Paul Sewald was very good in those situations.
How valuable is that in fantasy baseball? The save stat.
Again, it's going to depend on the league. But in points leagues, like a Paul Sewald in the leagues that I played in would totally be someone I'd want on my team. ESPN, for their points league ranking, they have him at 118th. So they have him as being more valuable than Eduardo Rodriguez. So I think a B ranking for Paul Sewald probably makes sense. He's not like that elite tier of closers. He's not a Josh Hader. He's not one of those guys who's going to strike out like 14 guys per nine innings or whatever. But he's valuable for sure.
And you also have the fact that a lot of people in your league might forget about him. Like Paul Sewald, just kind of one of those guys that he's well respected around the league, but he's kind of not really a household name, even though he's a very, very good closer and deserves to essentially be a household name. So, yeah, let's throw him up there at B. I think that's very fair. And let's talk about Kevin Ginkle and why Kevin Ginkle's value wouldn't be very high, because he's a reliever.
Yeah, and this is where fantasy baseball is just going to be valuing players very differently than we would in real life. Kevin Ginkle is arguably the most valuable relief pitcher.
He's an S-tier man.
The Diamondbacks
have. He's a five-star man.
Absolutely. But yeah, from a fantasy perspective, he's someone who probably wouldn't be highly sought after exactly. They have a top 75 list of just relievers, and he's 64th on their relievers list.
That's good to see him there. But he also has the like relievers, they don't get a lot of points in fantasy. So typically you're not going to have any reliever that doesn't have the potential of being a closer or currently is a closer. Now, that's probably where Ginkle's value could be, is if in some way you know, maybe like
if he gets saves, that's when he becomes valuable.
If for some reason Paul Sewald gets injured or is not available as their closer anymore, Paul Sewald could be tremendously valuable. Kevin Ginkle could be tremendously valuable. But right now, where he's at, he would probably be a D tier on this list.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
And so would any reliever. Like, there's no reliever really that's going to really move the needle here outside of Paul Sewald.
Yeah, it almost doesn't matter in most fantasy baseball formats. It almost doesn't matter how good of a reliever you are. If you're not getting saves, you're just like not really worth taking with how the system works. But yeah, if
you
an
could
opportunity,
get holds, but holds still wouldn't be worth that.
Yeah, hold
many points.
In a very niche league. Like, there are some leagues out there that probably do count holds, and yeah, Kevin Ginkle could be valuable in that scenario. But yeah, for most leagues, he's someone you'd keep an eye on if Sewald were to get hurt or struggle or whatnot. He's certainly someone to keep an eye on, but not someone you're probably looking to draft on day one.
Gabby, this is gonna.
Put him in S tier.
I'm already angry. I'm already angry about wherever we put him, because wherever we put him isn't high enough. No, I mean, obviously, Gabby has a lot still to work on. Gabby is not Corbin Carroll. Gabby is not a guy that is going to be, you know, an elite level fantasy player. But I mean, as far as filling your catching position, I don't feel like there's a lot of better catchers out there than Gabby Moreno.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm definitely putting him in the top 10 as far as catchers go. And I think his production offensively could increase in 2024. I still think we're going to see more power out of him this year. And I mean, that's only because I watched this man foul off a ball and then hit the very next one for a home run. And I will not be told that this man will not have an amazing year with power numbers in 2024.
So I'm looking at catchers on this ESPN top 300 list. They have Rutschman as the most valuable catcher. Mm-hmm. Then they have Will Smith. He's ranked 48th overall. And then they have William Contreras at 72nd.
Then Wilson Contreras.
They have Keibert Ruiz as the fourth best catcher, 93 overall. That's a little interesting to me.
Insane.
JT Romuto is fifth. He's 109th overall. And then it is Gabby Moreno.
So he's sixth
most valuable catcher. He's at 122nd overall. Really right around Paul Sewald. I think B is kind of what makes the most sense to me here.
God damn it. Yeah, I know you were going to say B. All right, put him
there
in
there is potential for like B. A really good value play where yeah. I don't think Moreno probably will get drafted outside the top 100 in pretty much all formats. But there is a world in which Gabby Moreno comes out and hits, you know, 20 homers or something if he really carries on what he did in the second half last year. And then you're looking at, you know, maybe him being right up there with Adley Rutschman as the most valuable catcher. Like I could at least envision a scenario like that. He hasn't quite arrived to that point yet. So I think B is probably fair for right now.
Ketel Marte. Can we just put him in A?
I think we can put him in A.
Let's just put him in A.
Yeah.
I don't think we need to discuss any more than that. The man has been incredible. Set a major league record in the postseason. And I almost feel like at times that it's like, you know, it's the competitive nature of the rest of the team. Like Ketel's output kind of matches what the team is doing at times. And like, it's not to say he hasn't had some incredible seasons when the team wasn't doing very well, but you know, like, I don't know. I mean, Ketel now at this point in his career, I just felt like you saw him turn it up to another level when the Diamondbacks got to the postseason. And again, kind of like with Brandon Pfaadt, I mean, Ketel's a longer track record. I do feel like,
yeah, totally.
Like what we saw wasn't just like, you know, kind of a fluke period of time. Like we've seen Ketel hit 320. We've seen Ketel be an incredible baseball player. So I think that what we saw in the postseason was just him really turning it on. And I think that with the way this team is constructed in 2024, we could see that all season long.
Yeah, they have Ketel as the 45th most valuable player in all of baseball, which is pretty high. I think A is totally fair here. They have him higher than Merrill Kelly, I think, by a pretty decent margin.
And he's hitting the cover off the ball right now out in spring training.
He's hitting 600 in spring training, and it like feels sustainable, which I know it's an outrageous thing to say, but it's like, yeah, no, he probably will hit 600 for all his spring training. He looks locked in right now for sure. We'll have to see how it translates to the regular season, of course, but the track record is there. When he's healthy, he's really freaking good, and especially at second base. Like, there aren't that many second basemen that hit the way that Ketel Marte does. He's a valuable guy to target for sure.
These next four guys baffle me because I have no idea fantasy wise where I want to put them or how much trust I want to put in them. Right, you have Eugenio Suarez, who played 162 regular baseball season games last year, and that doesn't make any sense to me that any player would play all 162 baseball games for their team in a season. And the projections don't look good. Like the forecast for him, the, you know, zips and things do not love Suarez in 2024, and I'm sure that the factors there are his age and just in general kind of a decline and such. But I don't know. I think that for the most part, when you talk about a guy that is going to play a lot as long as he can stay healthy, Suarez is going to play probably 140 games over there at third base, and he is going to hit probably close to 30 home runs. So I feel like there's a lot of value there potentially for him. He's going to strike out a lot. I mean, we've even seen that already in spring training, but I do feel like there's value there. And I just don't know what to trust. Do I trust like a gut feeling that he's going to continue the way that he's played for the last 5 years? Or, I mean, are these forecasts right that he's going to kind of take a downturn in 2024?
Yeah, I mean, this is where I think the format of the league matters a lot. Like, if you're in a league where strikeouts count against you, you probably don't want Eugenio Suarez on your team. Yeah. But if you're in a league that's like categories based, then Eugenio Suarez, you know, I mean, last year he was up over 20 homers. He had nearly 100 RBI. You know, the batting average isn't going to be great, but there's still value in having a guy who can give you, you know, 25 homers and 100 RBI or something like that over the course of a season. So it definitely depends on the league. I would maybe put him in the C range.
He could go as high as B, or he could be what Fangraphs think he's going to be in, more of like a D tier player.
Yeah.
Right. Like,
but he's the kind of player where even if he has like a fairly bad season by his standards, he still could have at least a little bit of fantasy value in a categories league, because as we saw last year, he still hit over 20 homers and had almost 100 RBI.
Yeah, that's a great point. All right. So we have, who do we have there left? We have Christian Walker, Lourdes, and Jock Peterson. Who would you like to start with here?
I think Walker's probably B for me.
Yeah. Defensively, one of the best first basemen in baseball, period.
And that's not going to be factored in a fantasy environment,
it's
unfortunately.
It's not.
But he's still a player that is very much worth
it. So outs above average or defensive run saved or anything like that, none of that stuff
happens. I mean, maybe like if there is a league out there like that, I want to be part of it.
He once did a category. It's the same one. Every possible category.
It's the same one with holds.
I mean, like I haven't seen – like ESPN is usually what I use, and I haven't seen them like – I don't think they even have DRS or OA or any of that stuff thrown in there. But yeah, ESPN has Walker 73rd on its ranking list, which is pretty good. Like you could maybe make a case for having him in the A tier, really.
He's a 30 home run, 100 RBI guy on this team. And he's going to have to be in order for this team to be good. But I mean, with those guys hitting in front of him and all of those opportunities for him to drive in runs, I think he's going to be an offensive threat all season long as his hand is fine.
Right. Which it looks like it will be. So there you go.
Thank you. Thank you for guys. I still feel great about this. All right. We got Jock and we got Lourdes. Let's be mean. I'm sure we're gonna be mean to one of these guys. Jock, I have no idea. Again, Jock and Lourdes are both kind of like mysteries to me. I know what we got out of Lourdes last year. Can he repeat that? If he can repeat that, then is he a C-level player as far as fantasy?
Yeah,
goes?
I mean, like if you had Lourdes in like the first 2 months last year, and then you dropped him, like that, that's awesome. Like you, it's basically like you had Bryce Harper for
so
2 months or
just
something.
Just do it when I have purple hair, basically.
Yeah, exactly, yeah, exactly. Base your fantasy decisions off of Derek's hair for sure. I would probably put Lourdes in the C range. You could make a case for him in the B range. I think it's probably between those two. He's at 151st on the player rater over at ESPN. I think Jock probably would be in the D category for me just because he's a platoon player and it's kind of hard to roster platoon players in fantasy baseball because they're just not playing every day. It would depend on the format. There are some leagues where you would maybe want Jock on your team, but kind of the most standard league, not a great fit.
Lourdes's career numbers tells me he's a B.
Say this again?
His career numbers tell me he's a B.
Yeah, because the career number says he's close to a 300 hitter, and like
there's a consistency factor there. I think I might buy that argument because he's someone
he was very much under his career average last year.
Did you just argue Jesse Friedman into giving? You just got him to bump up his grading curve.
You know what? You're right. I'm not. No,
don't budge. Don't you dare budge.
There's something to be said in fantasy baseball for just kind of knowing what you're getting out of a guy, even if it's not like that great necessarily.
But that's it, right? Like it's not the support. Like when your fantasy player goes out there and scores you the exact number of points that they projected he was going to score, it's a win, right? That's why you put him in the lineup. Your hope is he scores more, but that's a win. I feel Lourdes is one of those guys that would consistently deliver on the projected fantasy points. And that's hard to find sometimes because sometimes that's what screws you is the unknown. So
put him in B?
Put him in B! He's going in D! You did it, Jacob. Yes. All right, Jock can go in D.
Jock can go in D.
Well, and I think playing time is the consistency thing there for him. Like, it's not to say Jock might not be valuable at times for you, but you're just not going to be able to play him all the time. He's the kind of guy that gives me nightmares in fantasy baseball because he's the kind of guy that I have to look out for and actually change my lineup. Otherwise, I can just set my lineup for a week and be good and like everything's cool.
Yeah, if it's a week that locks like on a weekly basis, you probably don't want Jock Peterson because as we kind of project things out now, he might start 3 games and sit 2 or whatever. The other factor with him is that he might lose his outfield eligibility if the Diamondbacks don't actually play him in the outfield. And it's tough to roster guys who are DH only. They can only fit in that utility spot usually.
That's right.
That's another limiting factor.
They need
factor
to change that about fantasy baseball now. They're all DH is the rule. DH is the thing. There should be a DH, period. Forget that.
Or teams could just give some consideration to all the fantasy baseball players in the universe and just like play players like out of position every now and then.
There you go.
Just so that those players become
good
eligible.
Yeah.
Just do us all a favor.
Do us a solid, man. Do us a solid.
Like we need Jock Peterson at shortstop. Like not for the whole season.
just
like
two
a handful
games.
Of games.
Yeah, two games.
Know?
Two games. Enough for him to be considered a utility infielder.
As a disclaimer, I did not include Jerry P because I couldn't listen to Jesse tell me that he's a D level player.
Yeah. Alec Thomas too.
Perdomo and Thomas are just guys that, you know, we can talk up all we want about how they could have great seasons and Perdomo was an all-star and all that, but you know, people are just not going to be selecting those guys in at least the majority of formats.
My thing about this is like to rank the pitchers up there, to rank Cattell and to rank Corbin up there, that all makes sense. But this team, their identity is not that there are great fantasy players on this team. It's that this team as a whole is a great team. And that, yeah, you don't know sometimes which guy who's going to be the hero on any given night, and they're all capable of doing it. But when it comes to fantasy, it's about those guys that you know are going to play close to 150 plus games, and they're going to be able to deliver, you know, two hits and some RBI almost every single night. Outside of Cattell, outside of Corbin, the Diamondbacks just aren't that, right? Like, and I mean, it would be great if they were, but it, I don't feel like that means they're not going to be a successful team. I just feel like their success is based around that team effort and the fact that they have so many different guys that can do it at any point, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I had someone the other day who was, we talked the other day on the show when you were out, when Patrick was here, about what it would take for the Diamondbacks to win 100 games. And people were getting angry because they weren't happy because I didn't factor in that the Diamondbacks are a connected and dangerous team in my analysis, and someone was not happy about that.
Let me ask you this: did you factor in the variable of team friendship?
The variable of friendship. I left that out of my.
The power of friendship. It's powerful.
We're playing around with
exponential times
wins
three.
Above replacement numbers, which have no feelings and are completely out of touch with reality. So
yeah, those robot numbers. Well, if you want to get more, get in on more of this fun of picking players and getting in on the fantasy aspect of things, you can with our friends of Prize Picks. Prize Picks is really simple to play. You can make your picks and submit your entry in less than 60 seconds. All you have to do is go to prizepicks.com/PHNX and use code PHNX for a first deposit match up to $100. That's prizepicks.com/PHNX and use code PHNX. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. All you have to do, they'll give you a number of stats. You pick whether these players are going to get more than or less than. And again, it's like this. What is my guy going to do on any given night? Sometimes hard to predict, but when you go in there, you know your Corbin Carrolls, you know your Zach Gallons of the world, you know your Cattell Martes, makes it easier on you. So make sure to check out Prize Picks right now. You can also get yourself a way to save your money and secure your financial future with our friends from Desert Financial Credit Union. For more than 84 years, Desert Financial has been Arizona's largest, most trusted credit union, and they have your financial interests in mind, which is something that not every financial institution has. You can look to Desert Financial for checking and savings accounts, mortgages, loans, credit cards, investment options, and so much more. Join a credit union that is committed to giving back to the community and to their members. When you open a free checking account right now online, you can get $200 in bonuses. Get started by visiting desertfinancial.com/200. Jesse has a wonderful piece over on gophnx.com for all of you diehards out there. It is a diehard exclusive. If you have not got your diehard membership yet, now would be a great time to do so. That way you don't miss out on this wonderful content. You also get that free t-shirt from the phnxlocker.com. So much more, including access to our Discord lounge, discounts with our partners, discounts on our events. So go out, get yourself a diehard membership, become part of our family. And that way you can make sure to get all of Jesse's articles, including this one that we helped him out on. We did the writing on this.
This isn't really my article.
Yeah, he comes around doing all the 30%. We're doing the heavy lifting, and he gets to put his name on it. But we did discuss as a family here at PHNX what improvements we would like to see at Chase Field, as well as some other things, right?
Yeah. I asked five different questions in this story surrounding Chase Field. And most of them about like what kind of renovations, what kind of changes would you like to see, what kind of development around the ballpark, those kinds of things. And it was really interesting seeing what all of you guys had to say. I got you on it. I wrangled Espo, Max, Bo Brock from PHNX Cardinals.
Avengers Assemble.
He has some of his own opinions in here. So it was fun to just kind of put our brains together. And I made sure when I did this, I shared documents with each of you separately. I didn't want your answers influencing anyone else's answers. So we all thought for ourselves here too.
But like one of the first questions you asked, we'll give you a little sample of this, but we're interested to hear what you guys have to say. So make sure you drop in the chat your responses. And what are your thoughts on things you would like to see different at Chase Field? Like what bothers you? What improvements? If the Diamondbacks do get this blank check essentially from Maricopa County and then they throw their own money in on it and can essentially make whatever improvements they find to be necessary, what would you add in? Groundhog Mama has the correct answer, and that is Panda Express.
Right.
Number one, Panda Express / Dutch Bros, where I could stand in line and get both of those things at the same time. Let's go. But we did talk about like, what do you want to cover? Like our feelings on Chase Field, what improvement, what did you want to talk about that
week? Sure. Let's go to what improvements, renovations, or new features would you like to see? Your answer, you mentioned that you like the LED lights and the new sound system.
Yeah,
apparently I'm reading here that you're really big on those things.
Yes.
And you also pointed out that you want more standing areas and bars similar to what we have at the Footprint Center. I really like this where I read what you have to say rather than you just saying it.
And I'm just sitting here listening what did I say?
Great,
what did I write? yes, I think that definitely. I mean, that just completely changed the Footprint Center. And I mean, it makes it so that, you know, like when you're at a sporting event, you're usually there with your friends, right? And you don't always get a chance to sit together. The one beautiful part about all of those areas is, and I see it not just with my friends, but with lots of people. Like it's an area to congregate. It's an area for you to get together, have a drink, talk for a little while. Baseball games are long. There's plenty of time for you to go and socialize with people. And I think that Steve Kerr be damned. I don't care what he has to say about Footprint Center being a club. I would love a little bit more of a nightclub atmosphere at Chase Field. I would love it to have a little bit more life to it. Even if that involves people enjoying themselves and not necessarily watching the game, but just having a place for them to go and hang out and, you know, like not just stand in line at a concession stand to get a drink, a place where you actually feel like you're at a bar hanging out and chatting. I also want the out-of-town scoreboards back, and I think that there's a really classy way they could do that where they put up, like, LED screens, make them look like the old scoreboards, but then have the versatility to, like, have them change when a home run gets hit and stuff like that. Like, there's things about that. I know a lot of people brought up the clock, right? They want the clock back.
There were a couple of
mentions. Give us a big digital face clock, but have it be, like, this stupid watch on my wrist where it could change and do shit and, like, whatever, right? But have a clock face on it, too, because that's part of our short.
It has to be a digital clock, not analog, because I can't read the analog kind.
No, Jesse, no, that's not the way this works. We're not doing it's an analog clock face. What else? What did the other guys have to say?
I need more natural light. I agree with Jesse.
You
need to feel like you're in a baseball game, and it is so hard to do that here because it's dark.
I think the problem
is just dark.
I think the problem is that if you do more natural light on the side where the sun is typically facing the building during that time of day, during 5 o'clock, like the setting, it's a nightmare when it comes in and it hits us in the press box through those windows up there.
Yeah,
like
blinding.
You don't want bigger windows coming. You don't want more sun coming in from that way. As much as you want more light, you don't want it coming in from that way. So as long as maybe it's a different direction, you know, like, because again, they could put it on the east side of the building. And I think that would allow more light in without having to worry about that sun setting and blasting people in the face. But there are probably some things that we want that they've thought out, and there's a reason why they don't do it. You know, obviously air conditioning is a big reason why we don't just have a giant open air park. You know what I mean? Like that's I don't know.
One other nugget I will give away for free here. There's a lot of stuff that was said about what kind of changes people would like to see and whatnot. But one of the questions that I asked was, how do you feel about the Diamondbacks not removing seats from the building? That's something that Derek Hall said a couple of weeks ago when I asked, you know, kind of what's part of your plan for a reimagined Chase Field. That's what they're calling it.
Reimagined.
And Chase Field reimagined.
Reimagined.
And Derek Hall specifically said that removing seats is not part of that plan. I asked all of you guys how you felt about that. And in unison, all of us felt that that is a mistake and the Diamondbacks do need to remove seats from this building. I looked up some of the numbers, and I mean, I myself, I never actually taken the time to look this up. The Diamondbacks, according to, it's an article over at BetMGM actually, they have the fifth highest capacity. Their ballpark, Chase Field, holds 48,519 people or something
Yankee Stadium one?
I think Yankee Stadium was one. Yeah. I can pull up the list here if you want. But for, I mean, the Diamondbacks have not been in the top half of attendance rankings since 2008.
My God, Yankee Stadium is not. It is Oakland Coliseum at number one with 56,000 seats in that gigantic, useless building.
Yeah,
my
I mean,
God.
I think they, I don't think they're like actively servicing that many seats.
Oh, yeah,
right
no,
now,
they but, are definitely not. There's no need to.
Yeah, I mean, you can fit a lot of people in that building for sure. But yeah, I just think like it's common sense. The Diamondbacks do not attract as many fans as would be needed to warrant this size of
and
the
that's
building.
And that's something Bo brought up when he discussed that building, that building is two different buildings when it is full versus when it is empty. When it is a quarter full and closed and it's the middle of the summer, like it's not a place people want to be. But when you're talking about like April baseball and on opening day and the roof is open and the planes are doing the flyover and there's not an empty seat in the house, that's like the most electric atmosphere to be in the world, you know?
Yeah.
And I, Derek Hall brought it up, you know, like the capacity isn't an issue when they are sold out for the Elton John concert or Pink
of course,
or whatever,
it's not,
right?
Of course it's not. But, it's not. But the reality not the point is that it's not sold out ever, right? I mean,
unless it's a concert or something that's
not
a baseball
through,
game.
I went through last year. The Diamondbacks had above 45,000 once. And predictably, it was their home opener. Talking the regular season, obviously in the playoffs, certainly sold out games.
For sure.
And they were above 40,000, I think, five times total. And a lot of those, there's July 4th. There were, you know, I think Father's Day was in there. You know, the kind of marquee giveaway items and whatnot, those will attract more. But if you're not consistently, like, at least above 40,000, you know, if that's only happening like a couple of times a year, do you really need 48,000? I just think it's not worthwhile because you're making the building feel empty in the vast majority of situations. And that's kind of what I keep coming back to.
Let's see. Elise says better AC should be priority number one. I'm already worried about how hot home games are going to be in July and August. It's a great point. I know that that AC issue, that's part of the ongoing stadium negotiation with the county because, again, Maricopa County should be the one that's responsible for something like the AC and the plumbing and the electrical. Yet they, like a bad landlord, want to be like, what? You just come over and bang on it a little bit and it kicks on. It's fine, right? Like they don't actually want to do anything to address some of these problems because until it's actually broken and you literally cannot, you know, plumbing is literally not operational. Electricity is literally not operational. Doesn't seem like they want to do anything about some of these issues. Yeah. And air conditioning, Derek Hall did bring up that they were going to add basically like a whole other unit because they do share an air conditioning facility with other buildings, which that's a whole other problem that we could get into. But yeah, I mean, there's a lot of stuff like that. I think that, you know, again, the building is not unsalvageable. And I think that it's a beautiful place to be. It's a beautiful location. And there's lots of stuff they can do. They're just limited. It's just limited. And I mean, again, I know they don't want to reduce the number of seats. But like Elise said, it doesn't feel like congregating areas are very possible without reducing seats or maybe losing out on some like eateries, right? Like you're going to lose some concession stands, something of that sort. Something has to give in order for there to be other areas. Now, I don't feel like what the Footprint Center did really devalued that building. I don't think it made it like you lost some seats, but you make up for it in experiences that people that want to pay premium for suites and such will make up for. And that's something the Diamondbacks also want to do more is just some sort of suite options that are different. Maybe some field level suites, something like that of the sort. Like there's just a lot that they want to do and it all depends on how much their budget finally ends up being. I still think these are all just negotiation tactics to try to get as much money as possible to do as much as they can, but I don't think the Diamondbacks are going anywhere. Chase Field reimagined is going to happen. It's going to happen. Just depends.
Might not happen until, you know, 2042, but well
like Derek
we'll
Hall
get
said,
there.
Right? Like they've been already doing improvements on that building for seven straight years. So it's like, it's not like they're not trying to do things. And again, it's kind of like the roof, right? The roof probably should be something that the county takes care of, right? That's not a cosmetic issue.
I mean, at this point, the whole memorandum between them and the county from a few years ago kind of changed how things work a little bit. So we don't have to get down the weeds there too much. But
man, I'm just saying.
I don't know if you can put that fully on that.
No, I'm not. But like, that's one of those things that, again, it's broken, but they've learned how to live with it. Like Derek Hall said, we have a good grasp on the roof. But that is something, again, that people like, that building will never be back to 100% until that roof can be opened in the middle of a game and we can hear that wonderful right. roof opening music play. I still think Corbin Carroll should adopt it at his walk-up song. That's a whole other thing. Well, of course, you can make some improvements around your home and you don't have to wait for Maricopa County to approve it. Just go to our friends at Empire today. They'll get you set up with all the flooring needs that you have, whether it's carpet, whether it's hardwood floors, they'll take care of you. They also keep shopping for floors simple with a curated product selection and an easy shop from home philosophy where they will let you pick out everything that you're looking for in your flooring simply from the comfort of your home. Their virtual floor designer is a great way to see how those new floors will look in any space. And of course, they also service their own warranties. So should any issues arise, you don't have to track down any kind of third party or anybody else. Empire Today will take care of it for you. You can schedule a free in-home estimate today. All listeners can receive a $350 discount when they use promo code PHNX. Restrictions do apply. See empiretoday.com/PHNX for details. Last but not least, great adventures are to be had right here in the great state of Arizona. Whether you are already checking out spring training, and especially if you are here just as a visitor, let our friends at Arizona Lottery take you on an adventure because you can check in at geolocated adventure spots at 10 destinations across the state right now with their brand new Arizona Adventure promotion. And when you do, you can win potentially by checking in on their website. You can win up to $1 million in cash in Arizona travel prizes. Visit azadventure.com for details and directions, and then go out there and find these wonderful locations all around the valley. This promotion celebrates state pride and the uniqueness and beauty of Arizona, and the proceeds from ticket sales supports environmental conservation, among other important initiatives across the state. So again, visit azadventure.com for more information on how you can take an adventure with the Arizona Lottery and for a chance to win $1 million in cash in Arizona travel prizes. Well, we will be back here tomorrow at our normal time, you guys. So if you are not here tonight,
what does that mean?
What does normal even mean anymore? We don't know. This is our new normal of being here late. But we'll be back at 1 p.m. tomorrow to talk about any updates we might have. We also want to talk about maybe a little MLB realignment and what that might look like should the Major League Baseball expand to 32 teams. In the meantime, you can make sure to keep it locked to us on Twitter. I'm at @Cap_Caveman with a K. This maniac next to me is at Jesse N. Friedman, of course. Father Overlord Jacob, he is at @Jacob_Franklin4 because he is the fourth best Jacob Franklin in known existence. We gotta kill those other three. You know, we gotta get him up there to number one. Yeah, that's the only way.
I've been fourth for the last 2.5 years, man. What do I gotta do?
I mean, Jacob moving up the list on his own is not. That's out of the question.
Yeah, we have to take this into our own hands.
We have to kill off the three above. That's obvious.
What do they do?
Highlander rules. There can be only one. I don't know, but they probably do maybe better thumbnail cards than you. I don't know how that's possible. Your thumbnails
are great.
That's
tough to do.
Yeah, that is tough to do. But, of course, our show is at @PHNX_DBacks, but all roads do lead to @PHNX_sports on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. We appreciate your time. We thank you guys so much for stopping by. We will see you tomorrow at 1, and in the meantime, have yourself a wonderful evening. We appreciate you. Remember, kids, baseball is fun, but it's so much more fun when you don't play fantasy baseball.